Are we back on the record? Okay. So our final item for today is the Catania shoreline variance. I think you've been sitting throughout, so you've kind of seen how these have proceeded. Are you the applicant? Okay. So Mr. Heacock, you can state your name again for the record.
Again, Steve Heacock, and I'm senior planner for Department of Community Development. I swear to tell the truth.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, again, we have a staff report for this shoreline variance that we have created a memo again addressing this. There was, as I explained in an earlier hearing, we do have the shoreline variance criteria is a rather new procedure, and so we had created an actual analysis of the actual ask, if you will, as part of the exhibit. So at this point, we have exhibits one through, hang on just a sec.
One through 17,
yes, thank you. For the record, inclusive of the staff report, I would like to add that and send out a shout out to one of my coworkers who created this quick little PowerPoint that I've not seen yet, but she created it for me this morning.
Okay, so that would be Exhibit 18.
Yes, so we'll have that as Exhibit 18. Okay. Shout out to Meg Sands. Thank you, Meg. And then I do have, again, a memorandum, if you will, in relation to the variance that I'd like to provide. And I did give a copy to Mr. Catania as well.
Okay. And we'll give that Exhibit 19, and I will go ahead and admit all exhibits 1 through 19.
Great. Okay, excellent. So we're going to go through this PowerPoint here real quick. This is just some of the basic location ideas that are going on. Here we have the general location of the property is in here. It's a kind of a regional aerial. Meg Sands has zoomed in on this. It's right about here, somewhere right in here. This is Hansville at the very end of the world of Kitsap County, or almost. Here's the site. As you'll see, that this particular subdivision is an old subdivision that occurred, boy, I think in 1939, if I recall from the staff report. It's a significant area that was mostly cabins back then, but houses have been added on in the past and that type of thing. But as you see, that this property is one that probably just was used as a, you know, area to go picnicking and things like that, and not everybody developed. But as we can see on this site plan and this aerial, it's, you know, never been built on. And so that particular situation makes it rather less difficult to demonstrate that other people, you know, in the variance criteria. One of the things we have to talk about is, well, you know, is it the applicant's fault that nothing has been built on this property before? Well, that's obviously not the case. It's a piece of property that's never been built on. So, and do other people in the area have the afforded right, and have they built houses on their properties as well? And the answer to that is yes, definitely the case. Oops, went the wrong way. Here we have the critical area map overlay. You'll see that the zigzaggedy line that's here is an actual flood zone. that particular flood zone has a elevation associated with it of 13 feet. So the flood zone itself on this particular piece of property will need to be built, the house will have to be built to a flood standards. But that's part of the review that would happen at the time of the building permit. So what that would entail would be that we require an elevation certificate from a licensed surveyor to indicate that the finished floor is a foot above that flood zone elevation. There's no other real concern with the property. Obviously, all the other people in this neighborhood have similar situations, and likely they have flood insurance or that they also have elevation certificates. So one or the other. Here's the shoreline management layer that shows that the shoreline designation is Rural Conservancy. So the base buffer requirement for Rural Conservancy shorelines is 130 feet now. When the platted properties were built on, there was no Shoreline Master Program. There was no Shoreline Management Act. Houses were built just in a safety situation, if you will, for setbacks from the shoreline itself. And there would be health approval that would have happened for these properties as well. Each individual property would have to have a drain field, and the drain field would have to be separated from, you know, the shoreline. We can't have, you know, effluent in the shoreline, things like that. So that's typically most of these properties have drain fields that are up by Twin Spits Road, and the houses are built toward the shoreline. That was the setup. And so as you see, again, these pretty good-sized houses here built on the shoreline, really very close, some of them within 10 feet, 8, 10 feet of the shoreline. Here's a view from a MAGAT Creative Virtual Earth aerial photo that shows a little bit different view here. You see the vegetation a little bit better. This is basically, it's a lawn that's created, and again, it's been a picnic area for decades. This is the site plan, and the site plan shows that we've got the ordinary high water line that's marked here right on the edge of the shoreline. I think that's what that says right here. It's hard to, ordinary high water is right about here, right at the vegetation line. As we saw in the previous staff presentation, there are methodologies for determining ordinary high water line in relation to shoreline properties. This particular shoreline was designated by a vegetation break, and there's a procedure for that. The applicant's biologist is one of the better biologists in Kitsap County. In my professional workings with her, Joanne Bartlett, she did a fantastic job of analyzing where the ordinary high water line is on this particular property. She's been doing that kind of work for 20 plus years now, probably more. She is well regarded for identifying these ordinary high water breaks, if you will, for the identification of between ordinary high and the buffer break, if you will, for where we identify a buffer setback from. So on this particular site plan, let's see if we've got, let's see here, oops, uh-oh. We have the residence, the proposed residence, a small garage, actually, And if we look at the neighboring properties here, the adjacent neighbor properties, our houses that are similar in size and square footage, but you'll see that the applicant isn't asking for a big giant house by any means. It's a very modest sized home. We've got some features that actually make it the only place that can build, and one of them is that we've got a septic drain field that's located upland, and the health district requires a very significant setback from the shoreline so that we don't have pollution or septic drain field problems. So we have the septic drain field area here, the primary, and then a reserve area must also be identified in case there is a failure of the septic drain field. And both of those need to be separated from the shoreline by 100 feet. So that indeed takes up with the septic drain field and the reserve. And, we need a driveway, obviously, to get into a property. Those components together drive the location of the house toward the shoreline. And that's how we got there, if you will, in this particular case. The actual ask, if you will, in relation to the variance, is that we're having a 35-foot, the house will be built back 34 feet, from the ordinary high water line. I further identified in my addended staff report from the building site application with the health district that we've got some other features that also need to be separated from a house. One of them is this infiltration area. And this 43-foot long, if I recall, 43, yes. This infiltration area for the roof runoff and the driveway for water quality and quantity treatment needs to be also separated from the house. We obviously don't want water to drain right by the house for the drainage water, because we don't want, inundation of water underneath the house. That's not, a good health situation. So we've identified in the site plan and in the summary of the memorandum that this infiltration area is allowed to be within that buffer. It's the only place that it can be put on the property. And so we've identified that. Again, there's a planting plan. And I do have a little bit of detail that we can take a look at for the planting plan itself, which is, hang on just a sec, I grabbed it wrong. There we go. Switch over to the projector. We have, and I obviously won't be able to point to this, so I'll try to describe what we have in relation to the planting plan here on this particular submittal from Joanne Bartlett with Ecological Land Services. She is the biologist of record, created the planting plan that's going to go with this application. There's also going to be some plantings that are required that will be further detailed At time, a building permit submittal, but obviously we have some shore pine. That is a lower growing tree. That's a tree that we would choose in a situation where we have neighboring views that would be potentially impacted. So a shore pine can be pruned in such a way that it will provide really good habitat. It's a very dense coniferous tree, but it can be leader pruned so that it doesn't grow so tall that people are going to freak out about their views. So with that in mind, the applicant and Ms. Bartlett had put together this planting plan with more lower growing type of vegetation. And then obviously in the center of the property there may be, you know, the existing lawn and things like that. But in that analysis and in comparison, if you will, with the other properties on the shoreline, we obviously see that most of them are just lawn right down to the beach itself. And this is going to be some mitigation for that potential impact, or the planned impact, if you will. I'd like to just really quickly just read in about the variance here and just go over that real quickly. This is from my memo. This is exhibit,
19, I believe. Yeah. And I did skim through it. As you
have
were
you?
Talking,
okay,
yeah,
good. So. Right. I just wanted to just read some of the just real quick components of this. Obviously, when staff reviews the variance criteria, that's submitted by the applicant or the applicant's representative, that variance criteria really is a document that we absolutely must have and must rely on for any shoreline variance, because we really need to demonstrate that all of the components of a shoreline variance are being met. And that has indeed happened. And we did incorporate that per reference in the staff report. But what we didn't provide in the original staff report, which creates this, I feel, a need to create a memorandum.
No, these were helpful. I had a
feeling. It's like, oh, we've got to flesh that out a little bit better. So, anyway, we've got the situation. We have an existing platted property. It's been platted again, I believe, since 1939, and it's on the Puget Sound shoreline of Admiralty Inlet. Shoreline buffers and our buffer requirements are required under Title 22, 400-120 for vegetation conservation buffers. Again, we have the ability to reduce buffers administratively, but that was only down to 100 feet from the required 130. So there's no way that you couldn't build anything on this property. It would all be outside of the zone. So it really does point to the fact that the variance is the only way that this applicant could be afforded a residence on this property, and a reasonably sized residence, nothing out of the ordinary for size, configuration, or things like that. It also must comply with our view ordinance. That's part of Title 22. We address that in the staff report under 22-300, I believe, and went through that with detail. Here again, we point to Exhibit 11, which is the habitat analysis, also required through FEMA interaction in relation to the FEMA flood zone requirements. So a habitat assessment, and Ms. Bartlett had also incorporated in the habitat assessment for flood zone purposes, the no net loss report, and then a really good vegetation plan, a strategy, and had addressed that quite well. I'll read here. As the house has been reduced to the minimum extent possible from the shoreline due to septic drain field setback requirements and small parcel size, a setback buffer from the shoreline of a total of 34 feet from the residence And then I note, as measured from ordinary high water, it applies under the relief of the shoreline variance review, and as such meets the criteria per the analysis of the variance that was provided also by Ecological Land Services. And that was under Exhibit 14. The buffer restoration plan indicates in greater detail that a restored buffer of 29 feet will be applied, and then a modified 5-foot construction setback will be incorporated for the variance to meet that 34-foot total. Stormwater treatment via a 43 lineal foot dispersion trench is applied, and that's due to the sandy nature of the soils on the site. That's why that area was identified. The facility will be located within the buffer area and is planned within the outer portion of the 29-foot buffer area and has been reviewed for the shoreline-related buffer encroachment in that no net loss report. So, you know, as this is, again, a shoreline use, you know, we are in 100% inside of the 200-foot shoreline jurisdiction. There's really no other alternative. The variance criteria applies. The application meets the criteria. It's consistent with the code. And then, again, the associated habitat assessment and no net loss report, mitigation and revegetation plan indicates in the body of that the public interest will suffer no substantial detrimental impact or effect, and that staff does concur with this finding. And I'll further detail that we just had a really nice application package here to look at this. It's definitely meets all the criteria of the Shoreline Master Program for a variance. And staff, again, recommends approval.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Heacock. Mr. Catania, did you wish to add to anything that staff has presented here today? Why don't you step up very briefly? Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Okay. So just for the record, your name?
Anthony Catania.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, of course.
And it sounds like, well, staff gave a very thorough presentation. I've reviewed the record and the exhibits. I don't have any questions. You're comfortable with the staff report and the conditions that are outlined. Did you have any questions on any of that?
No, I think it's been very, very thorough. It's been an interesting journey for the last 11 months of my life, trying to figure these setbacks and codes out. I feel as though we're asking reasonable use of the property. I think that if you looked at the shoreline and the existing houses along there, that it's pretty much all developed and everybody's enjoying it and there's no problems and there's no feuds. I've spoke to the neighbors about it. They didn't have any derogatory remarks. I hope that you take this into consideration and grant my variance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from staff? Okay. I do think that the applicant has met the variance criteria. This is a difficult site to build on. The application was very thorough, and the mitigation that's been outlined, I believe, is consistent with the variance criteria. So I am going to grant this variance, and a decision will be out within 10 days. I will send that to Ms. Santos, who will then circulate it to the applicant. Yep. Do we have anything else today from staff? I think that was the last item on the agenda. So, all righty. With that, I think we are adjourned. And just actually, one moment, just let me reflect. There is no one in this room to provide comments. I just wanted to note that for purposes of the record.